Well, you've had the Englishman and you've had the Irishman.
Now you've got me, I'm afraid.
I was chatting to someone last night and they said that they'd been given a bit of advice about doing sermons. And he says, what you do, you tell them what you're going to tell them. You tell them what you told them you were going to tell them, or something like that. And then you tell them what you told them. So some of you are looking confused already, which is a worry. But it is the holiday season, so we'll let you off with it. So there's only kind of one point to my sermon which ties in with the service, and that is next year the goal is to know Christ. So that's what I'm going to tell you in over 15 minutes. But ultimately, the goal is to know Christ more and more. The goal is to know Jesus more and more. And that's what we're going to find out a little bit about this morning. And that's what we've been thinking on. And that's what we just kind of want to drive home. So I thought if I do the sermon and you're sick of me saying the same point, then you're probably just about getting what I'm saying. So that's the plan. But I'd like to do a little game first. And I wondered, since Joel volunteered his sister last week, if he'd like to be involved in the game. And then I thought, when I was sitting down, it's kind of like a father-son game. This could be a good father-son game. So I wondered if Graham wanted to join in as well. Graham, I saw you. Where are you? There you are. He was suddenly tying his shoelace. So it's just a small game. But I just thought, yeah. Sorry. I never made it clear that you had to come forward to do the game. So there's two lines. You kind of need to meet in the middle of the lines. It's kind of like reverse tug of war. Yeah, so stand in the kind of roughly in the middle. Hands on each other's shoulders. And the goal of the game is to push your opponent and yourself past the... I made the line small in case it was going to go on for ages. Just watch out for Lucas behind you. Joel, don't win because you might squash your child. I've given you an out already, Joel. So you've just got to someone keep an eye on the children, and they'll be. I'll tell you to stop if you're getting too close. But I think you might win, Graham. Okay. So I just push, even push. You know the game, don't you? Excellent. You ready? After three, one, two. He's brace. Three. Well, thank you both. I wasn't expecting that. Oh dear, I'll compose myself before I go on to the last bit. So we're going to read. Oh yeah, I forgot to put that picture up. That was kind of Joel and Graham there. That was fun. That was years of frustration came out in Joel at that point. That's what that was. So we're going to read, we're looking ahead, pressing forward, and we're just going to read a few verses from Philippians, and we're going to talk about that for a little bit. In Philippians chapter 3, just three verses, 12 to 14, and Paul writes this, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." In the final bit of our service, we're looking forward, we're pressing on. And the verses we read were written by Paul to the church in Philippi, but they're important and they're applicable to us today as well, I think. And we're just going to ask three kind of brief questions as we think about the passage. What does Paul want? What does Paul do? And what difference will it make? Well, what does Paul want? Well, whatever it is, it's obviously really important to him because he mentions it five times in three verses. He says all this, he says my goal, he says it, he says the goal, and he says the prize. So what is the goal, the prize, that Paul mentions? Well, you don't need to go too far back in the Bible, just a verse or so to Philippians, the same chapter, just verses 10 and 11, where Paul writes this, "I want to know Christ, Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is fully Christ-focused. For him, the Christian life isn't just about salvation and ethics and good living. It's about knowing Christ. What was the line in the song we just sang? I want to know you and know you more. King of the heavens, King of my soul. And when Paul talks about the resurrection from the dead, he doesn't just mean he's looking forward to heaven. He is looking forward to heaven, but not just that. It's another expression of Paul's desire to know Christ, to be with Christ. It's an expression of Paul's desire to align every part of his life with Jesus Christ. Paul will suffer as Christ suffered. Paul will one day be resurrected as Christ was resurrected. And Paul's saying that Christ is my desire and my hope and my goal. And the question we often ask ourselves at this time of year is, what is my goal? What is it I want? What is it that we want? What's your goal for 2019? It should be Christ. That doesn't stop everything else happening, but it makes it better. When we ran the prayer course in September, I was chatting to a visitor. And he told that he remembers vividly, he became a Christian, and then the next day he was on a train journey that he'd been on several times in his life. But everything was much more different. He looked outside at the passing landscape, and everything was clearer, and the colors were more vibrant. And the only thing he could put it to was that he was looking with Christ in him. He knew Christ, and everything was just different. Everything was more vivid. Everything was better, because he knew Christ. And I guess the challenge for us today, going into 2019, is that which Paul wrote down in that verse. I want to know Christ. That's what Paul wants. But what does Paul do to know Christ? One of my goals for 2019 is to run a marathon. The training started in earnest at 8 o'clock this morning, 2 weeks into my training plan. Because I had 2 weeks rest. Actually, the training started yesterday, but it was a rest day, so I just I was like, result. But I have a plan that will hopefully, when I follow it, will get me up to fitness to run the race in April. My goal is to get to the finish line and to receive the medal. When we had our game earlier, the goal was to get your opponent across the line as safely as possible and not injure any bystanders. Paul's goal and our challenge is to know Christ fully and to want to know Christ fully. But how does that happen? Well, it would be nice for us to have a 16-week training plan or a coach to advise on the best techniques for pushing an opponent. So how are we going to know Christ more? I'll tell you things now that you'll know already, but hear me out anyway. You can read your Bible. You can listen to it online these days. You can get it via an app. You can pick up your favorite translation, or you can read several. But get into your Bible to know Christ more. Know God's word. Know the heart and the desire of the God who brought the Bible into being. Talk about Christ with each other in your homes, over lunch, in your car journeys. Pray individually and in groups. Be with God that way. Listen and sing along to Christ-centered songs. Let the truth of Christ come to you through music. You can listen to podcasts like I did when I was out this morning. You can read books. You can come to church, where you get to do all of the above, and you're taught about Christ as well. But while these are things you can do, I don't think that's the thrust of today's passage when Paul talks about it. What God, through Paul, is telling us in this passage, it's not so much how you do it, but how you do it. It's not just what you do, but it's why. Paul doesn't give a five-step plan to know Christ more in his passage. Rather, I think he challenges our desires. Paul says to achieve his goal, to obtain all this, to take hold of it, he's just going to press on. He's straining towards what is ahead. You all understand the image of a sportsman straining to get to the finish line, don't you? Neck bulging. We saw it this morning as the two volunteers strained and pressed as they looked to reach their goal of going past the finish line. And that's just what Paul wants us to do. He wants us to press on. He wants us to strain. He wants us to keep going. He says, don't give up. When our volunteers strained, which way were they looking? Or which way were they not looking? They weren't looking behind them. They were looking forward. They were looking several different directions. But they started looking forward. But they certainly weren't looking behind them. As the strongman pulls the car or the lorry, he's kind of looking down. He's looking forward. He's not looking behind him. He's straining to what's ahead. He's looking at the goal. In our three verses today, Paul gives a little bit of instruction that can be so easily missed among the straining and the pressing on instructions that he gives. He says in verse 13, if you noticed, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He's not saying forget the past as if it never happened. A bit of remembering can do us good. One commentator says this, a good dose of memory about one's beginnings in Christ can serve as a proper shot of adrenaline for the continuing race. Remembering where you came from is important, but Paul says it's not that important, you need to keep going back there. When Paul says forgetting that what has been, disregarding what was before, I think in the first instance he's actually referring to what he writes in Philippians, earlier in the same chapter in verses 5 to 6. That's where he listed what would have been his religious credentials, the things that would have made him more holy than anyone else. And about them he said, they're nothing. They're nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need to do the same, don't we? Say those things are nothing. Sometimes we need to forget past glories. We need to forget the things that were great in the past, because we can't go back there. We shouldn't go back there, because the future is ahead, and the future is Christ. And it's not just glories you need to disregard this morning and next year. It's failures too. Paul was the worst. He referred to himself as the greatest of sinners. He persecuted God's people like no one else did. But that's behind him as well. That's to be disregarded in the pursuit of knowing Christ. We've got to really know the truth this morning of the verses we actually said earlier. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let go of the things of the past that shackle. It doesn't matter whether they were glorious or whether they were terrible. Because if it holds us back, it's the same as the truck in the strong man. It weighs us down. It tires us out. Unshackle yourself this morning and press on to Christ. But it's important too to acknowledge that when we press on, sometimes you think you're getting nowhere, even though you're trying to press on. And that can happen because there is resistance when we press on. And resistance to knowing Christ comes from a variety of sources. Sometimes it is the weight of past glories or the weight of past failures or traditions slowing us down. Sometimes it's the lure of other activities and other people that seem more attractive to us than Jesus Christ and his people. Sometimes it's the uncertainty of not knowing where Christ is going to take us, so we don't press on in case we end up somewhere we don't want to be. Sometimes it's just our own attitudes. We can't be bothered. But the times of resistance, we must show the attitude even more of pressing on, of straining towards something greater. And I think at times like this, that's when we as a church can really help each other by encouraging each other. Not just encouraging each other by saying you're great, which you are, and you're gifted, which you are. That's important. But it's good to encourage each other to say, look to Christ. Don't look down. Don't look back. Look to Jesus. Look what the goal is for us. The goal of being closer and closer to the resurrected Christ. That's worth pressing on for. So let's keep going. We can do this. And as we do this, as we press on, as we know Christ more, as we help each other know Christ more, then we'll start to see the difference that it makes. I think, as I was thinking about this, that pressing on helps us both in our fellowship here and in the world in general. When we press on together as a fellowship, as we individually and collectively seek to know Christ more and more, the strength and the unity and the intimacy of the church will inevitably change. Our vision says that we're a family that strives to be, firstly, wholehearted for God. That is pressing on to know Christ more. That's us collectively as well as us individually. Coming together is what we've to do. Coming together united to look to Christ, to praise Christ. Coming together united to glorify Christ. And coming together united to seek Christ. And when we do that, when Christ is our goal, we'll become more and more like a family who are open-hearted with each other. The second bit of our vision. We'll share our victories and we'll celebrate them together. We'll share the difficulties and we'll face them together. We'll share our sorrows and we'll grieve together. We'll help each other look to Christ. We'll pray together and we'll learn together. And I know you might be thinking, well, that sounds just perfect. It won't be, I'm afraid, because we are not perfect. We'll get it wrong as leaders, as church members. Sometimes we won't do it quite right, but we'll still do it. And as we learn about Christ more and more, as we're again and again awestruck by the beauty and the majesty of Jesus, as our lives align with that of Christ, we'll inevitably become a family that's brokenhearted for our world. We will know Christ, and our greatest desire will be for others to know him as well. I know a lot of the things you love. Cycling, hill walking. Stuart completed your Wayne Rights, didn't you? Congratulations. Running, cooking, crafts, coffee, children, holidays, dogs. How do I know you love them all? Because when we love something, we talk about it. We can't help it. When something's captured our imagination, and it's a really important thing in our lives, we just can't help ourselves, can we? It just comes out. We tell people, even if they've not asked, we still tell them what the things are that we love the most. And the question is, do we do that with Jesus? Do we love him so much that we can't help but tell people? Does he just pop into our conversations? When I've run a half marathon, which I've done a few, I'll get a medal and I'll show people the medal and I'll say, look what I've got. Like, look at that. It's even got the date on it and everything. Doesn't have the time, thankfully.
not paying extra for that pain.
The question is, I'll show that, but will I show Christ? Will I say, look what I've got? Look what I'm straining for. Look what I've got my eyes on. Look who I've got my eyes on. Isn't he magnificent? That's the question. Of course, most of us press on if we think something is worth it. If it's something we really want, we keep going. And that brings us back to the question, what is your goal? As the three church leaders, the elders, have taken part in this service, as we've looked back, as we've looked up, and now we're looking forward, our desire is that as we end this year and go into 2019, that we will all know more and more who Christ is. That we'll all know more and more that everything good flows from him. And our desire is that our amazing God will be our vision for the next 12 months and onwards. We're going to sing a song now. The band will invite. I should have given you more warning, band. After that, we're going to do a prayer together to finish our service, a prayer of covenant, just a prayer of recommittal, so we'll do that together. But just have the thought as you leave here today, is Christ my goal? To know Christ more and more, that's what Paul wanted. That's what we should want as well, and that's what we should strive for, and that's what we should help each other strive for too.